It's about 8:30. Before I begin, I want to thank the people of Israel for inviting me to say the Shia tonight. Even though it's from Michut Mokim, it's from the late Korah, from a place very close to my heart, Washington Heights community, which was an Achanya Shalpeya for many years, that my family lived there, and I thank you for giving me the opportunity to have the Torah once again in Washington Heights. I'd like to dedicate tonight's Shia to Inishmas, Reb Shaya ben Reb Yitzchak Meir, whose yahrzeit is tonight. My wife's grandfather is a Rav in Zeviz Ganich, outside the Zim, Poland, the Hefter, the Ring World War II. And Shir should be a Tchus Lilin Yishmosri. Ha'ash is Vayishlach. The Limudim, we have to understand that learning Parashas Vayishlach is not just studying the story of the Ovis once again and hearing about Yaakov Avinu and his Pegisha, his meeting together with Esav, but rather the Medrash says that the travels of Yaakov, which are split and spread across Parashas Vayetze and Parashas Vayishlach, are really teaching us ultimately about the different Goliaths and the different exiles that Klal Yisrael are going to experience. Parshas Vayetze reflects the Goliaths of Bavel, Poros, and Modin, and Parshas Vayishlach represents Goliath Yavan and Goliath Edom. It's clear that Yaakov's Pegisha with Esav is a lesson how Klal Yisrael is going to interact with Esav, with the descendants of Esav. Ad Seif Kol Adoiros, like the Pasuk says, Ad Asher Ovoy El Adoni Seira. The Sforim HaKadoshim writes that at the end of the Parsha, we're introduced to the story of Dina and the Mice of Shechem. That's a reflection of the future Golus of Yovan, which takes place in Eretz Yisrael, and there was a specific gezeira against Benoit Yisrael. So that's the parsha of Shechem and Dinah. The Ramban, quoting a medrash in Perik Lamed Gimel, Pasuk Tezvav, states the following. He says, Rabbi Seinu Ro'oid B'zeh Eitza, when Yaakov responded to Esav that he doesn't need any escorts to go along with him in his travels, Esav asked him why. He said, "Em tochein ve'enei adoni. It's enough that I find favor in your eyes. I don't need any special protection." The Rashi says, is Ramban says, the Rabbi Seinu and the gracious Rabbi say, Ro oid b'ze eitze omru, Rabbi Yanai can have his solik l'malchusa when he would travel to visit the kingdom of Rome and to help people who needed favors from the government, have a mistakil b'hadi pashosa. He would learn pashas by yishlach. V'loy have a nosev imei re'mo'in. He, because of learning this specific pasuk, he understood that he should not have any Gentiles accompany him along on his journey from Eretz Yisrael to Rome. Chazman, however, there was one time, Le'yistakulba, he forgot to learn Pashas Vayishlach before he embarked on his journey from Eretz Yisrael to Rome. And, consequently, he didn't remember V'nosav Imei Rimoin. He took with him some Romans to help him along on the journey. And the Medrash says, V'lo yagir la'akoi. They didn't come to Akoi until these Romans swindled and extorted money from him, Achimacha Pinas Shaloi, till he had to sell literally the clothing off his back to pay them for their troubles. Mitnei Shehoitza Kabbalah B'yodam, because Chazal had a Kabbalah Shezu Parshas Golos. Parshas Vayishlach is the Parshas that teaches us how to survive in Golos. Kaloima. Kishehoyibo B'roime B'chatzam Al-Chei Adoim Al-Iski Hatzibur. The Ramban now reiterates what the Medrash says, that when he would go for the Inyan of the Tzibur to Rome, Hoyim Mistakel B'Parshah L'lechas Achrei Atzas HaZokin HaChochem, to go after the Eitzah of Yaakov, the Zokin, the Chochem, Kimimenu Yiru HaDoidus, because from this the future generations will learn the Chen Yasu, and this is how they have to apply it. V'lo Hoyim Mekabel Chavis Anshei HaMalchus L'Avoisei. And because he learned the parasha, he understood well not to allow any of the Romans to escort him. Like the Mishnah says in Masechta Zohar, Shei Mekarvin El Anois Atzmon, their favors are not really favors, they're trying to help themselves. Umafkirin the Meini Shel Adam, they're trying to extort money from the person. Now, anyone who hears this medrash, there's an obvious question. It seems to be that Rav Yanai learned this parasha many times, and he always understood from the parasha not to allow any Romans escort him along the way. Yet the one time he forgot to look into the parasha before he embarked on his journey, he forgot one of the monumental limudim of the parasha, not to take anyone along. How could that be? He already knew what it said in the parasha. So he didn't do the quick review. But why didn't he remember that the parasha dictates and tells a person, instructs us not to take along any going along for the ride? I saw a Hezda, the safer for reminding from Eretz Yisrael, that we have to say that this parasha of parashas Vayishlach, the parasha of Golos, is timeless. And in any given circumstance, in Klal Yisrael's future, in any time, any point in history, when Klal Yisrael will need direction of how to interact with Malchus Edoim, or with the descendants of Edoim, by glancing and reviewing and learning this parasha, they will merit and they will see clear instructions, specific instructions to that time. So Rav Maimon explains that although in previous encounters and in previous experiences he learned the parasha and he gleaned from it the necessary message as to not to have Romans escort him, he felt that that was only for that time. Because every time the person learns this parasha, he's zeicher the specific siyata d'shmaya for the exact time that it's necessary. That's how powerful the lessons learned from parashas Vayishlach are And so much so in our time, when we clearly, we're in the world, the government, and their interaction with Klal Yisrael need clarity. It's a specific time to daven that we have the Siyata Deshmaya, that by learning Pashas Vayishlach and reading Pashas Vayishlach, we still have that Siyata Deshmaya to understand what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us in this leg of the journey of our goal. It is told that the Chofetz Chaim was once consulted that there was a gezeira in his time that the government proposed against Klal Yisrael. And so the Chofetz Chaim looks at Parashas Vayishlach, leaps to Parashas, he says, okay, Doiran, prepare a present, prepare a bride. They put the Askanim and put together money, and they came and they wanted to present it to the governor, whoever was the person who was issuing the decree. And he put on a real ethical front of not accepting any bribes. This is unethical. I don't do such things. And the gezeirah remains gezeirah. They came back to the Chofetz Chaim. Said, he's not taking the bribe. What do we do? Chofetz Chaim opened up Parshas Vayishlach again. And he looks through the psukim. And he notices, and he says, well, in the parasha it says that even after Yaakov gave the matana to Esav, Esav rejected it. He also didn't want to accept it. How ethical he was. He didn't want to accept Vayitzavoy Vayikach. He begged him, he pleaded with him, please, please. Oh, then he took it. The Chofetz Chaim says, go back and do a Vayitzavoy. And they did that. Needless to say, the guy accepted the bribe. Is also told that when the Mir Yeshiva escaped from Lithuania and they went through the Trans-Siberia railroad all the way down to Kobe, Japan, they were having a rough time when they came to Japan, even though they had papers. And the Japanese officials weren't being so welcoming. There was a lot of red tape. They were used to tactics that were employed all over Poland and Lithuania, that you put together a little package of money, and you hand it over to the official, and it makes things work. And they tried, and it wasn't working. So they asked the Rebbe Malon, what's going on? So Rebbe Malon said an unbelievable thing. He said, this Pasha is by Yishlach. The Torah's directives of Verin Matana, that's specific to Bnei Esav. Because that's who Yaakov gave it to. And because he gave it to Esav, it works for Esav and his descendants. The descendants of Esav never came to Japan. So we have to find new ways how to deal with the Japanese. Ultimately, they were matzliach, the schus of the Torah. But it's Mavel al Arayan, how applicable and how practical the Gedolim looked at this parasha to find how to deal with the current Golus, with Golus Edom, that we find ourselves in. In the beginning of the parasha, when Yaakov sends messengers, he sends Malachim to Esav, he tells him, you should know, I was successful. Im lovin garti ve'echa adoto, v'ahili shor v'chamor, I had oxen, I had donkeys, toin, sheep, ve'eved, v'shifcho, I'm looking for friendship with you. The question is, A, What is the in love and garati, which Rashi explains means that he told him I was able to keep her mitzvahs by love and have to do it by he. The Hili Shor V'Chamor seems to be one hemshech, one continuous message. Further in the parasha, says Yaakov finally was about to meet with Esav the night before. Vayivosa Yaakov levadoi. Yaakov remains by himself in the darkness of Golus. You know, really, there's on that topic, even before I just continue with the thought, this Vayivosa Yaakov levadoi is really, there's a machshava from Reb Hirsch and a machshava in the Chassidus Sforim that are the two sides of one coin. Reb Hirsch comments in the beginning of Parshas Vayetze. He says, Yaakov goes to Golus, we don't hear about his baggage, we don't hear about his suitcases, we don't hear about the things he takes along. Of course, Rashi tells us in the name of Chazal that he was taking things along, but it was taken away from him by a lipot. But in the Pashtus of the Psukim, he's going alone without anything. By Avram, it talks about who came along with him. Tanefesh Asha'osu B'choron. By Yitzchak, it says he had slaves, animals, livestock. And by Yaakov, there's nothing. He's traveling. He's a light traveler. He's taking nothing with him. No baggage. Almost the fancy people come to the airport with you. Have no baggage. And this pasuk, Vayivosa Yaakov Levadoi, which is the epitome of Golus, it's dark. He has nothing, no resources to protect him. The first writes in the beginning of Parshas Vayetze that the Yid in Golus, his tools of survival are not exterior. They're not weapons. He doesn't need anything. Everything he needs to survive is contained within him. The chelak lekayim mimal is inside him. And that's the same idea that the pasuk is telling us over here by Yevosa Yaakov Levadoi. In the height of Golus, in the thickness of Golus, in the hardest time, the harsh, most harsh time, the Yid has to remember that the tools of a Yid for survival are all contained within. The koyach atzilah, the koyach of his neshama, the koyach of being medavik and borei olam. Those are all the tools of survival that he needs. It's all packaged inside him. He needs nothing else. That's what the Torah is teaching us. He needs few psukim. But anyways, why was Yaakov levadoi? So Rashi says he went back for pachim ketanim, small little jugs. I mean, you go on the street, you see the Mexicans are busy with the bottles. Yaakov was going back for Pachim Ketanim. Pachim Ketanim. Later on, when Esav meets Yaakov, he has a question for Yaakov. Forget about the present and everything else. He wants to know, he asks Yaakov, could you please tell me, Milucha kol hamachane. Who are all these people here? Early he says, Mi'eiluloch. Who? Mi'eiluloch. So the Baal Turim brings down that Gimel ben Masoret, there are three places we find this exact lashon in the Torah. Milucha kol hamachna, v'idach milucha poi ki chatafa lucha poi kover, which is a pasuk in Yeshaya, and milucha poi by Lovan, by Loit, it says, milucha poi chosin v'necha uv'noisecha. So, on this last pasuk, that we find the similarity between the lashon that Esav is using, articulating, and the lashon that we find earlier, the lesson that we find by Loit. So the Balaturim says, Loitach amarto kishayinu bebetan imenu. We were having this fight. Umarivim albeze lomis. You know, it was the type of fight that you keep that and I want this. It wasn't like a fight like I want, you know. Yeah, I want Olam Haba. And this is good. Keep it. I want Olam Haza. So, if you wanted Olam Haba, what business do you have having a family and children? Sha'ato yisa boicha bo Olam Haba she'im boi puri v'rivya imkein milucha poi. What? Who? Milucha, why do you have children? And then, just one more question. Later on, when it says Yaakov, as a continued, almost the least pasuk in this parasha, which seems to be already on a different topic, it says Yaakov nosas l'koyso, vayivan loyboyis, which we would understand means he built himself a house to live in. Uza mikneyu, and for his livestock, osas l'koyso, he made these huts. Comes along the Yonis and Ben Azil, and he says, Ubona, Vayivan loyboyis, Ubona loy bay midrasha. He built a base medish. And for his animals, Ovid Mitolim, he made these huts. The question is, there's something in between the base medish and the bonds. What about Yaakov's own house? And why is the Targum Yonason taking the pasuk totally out of the pashtus and said, Vayivan loyboyis, he built himself a house. Well, the Mishmei wants to do this, and he built huts for his animals that we have to hear what he did for his animals. And why do we have to say this in one breath? So the pshat is like this. Esav was of the opinion that a person who is in Olam Hazenike, a person who wants Olam Haza, has no shaykhs to religion, to beliefs, to faith. You're here to enjoy yourself. If a person is involved in religion, and like you see Anayim is there in the descendants of Esav have such a belief, you have no business being married. You're not oisik the yeshuva shel olam. And their belief is that the religion is in the cathedrals. That's where the religion remains. Outside, you can sit there and listen to someone pontificate about all different types of things. You go outside, you can do all the avedus. Come back inside, you give some money. It's mechupa. You go back outside, you do avedus again. Big separation between church and state, the state of living. Big separation. That's what they believe in. Esav looks at Yaakov and he says, what shaykhs do you have to Olam Hazeh? You didn't come to have children. You should be practicing, sitting in the oil, studying the books, and that's it. What does it feel? What does it feel? Olam Hazeh together with Olam Haba? The answer is a meshachochm in the beginning of the pasha. Vayivi shoyvich hamor. The meshachochm explains that vayivi shoyvich hamor. The shefa kedusha. I read the lashon. Me'etzem kedushas hayisrael. Hamishpat may Hashem, the kedusha that is on a yid that comes directly from Hashem. Shenema, ki ani Hashem mekadishchem, shoyfa shefa kedusha gam al kinyonei beemtoi. The yid kedusha doesn't stop. It is so intense and so real that it spreads. It continues and it goes and it infuses itself into his money, into his belongings. it's brought down in the Baal Turim Pashas Vezchanan. V'hafes Hashem l'kecho b'chol levavcho, b'chol nafshecho, b'chol moidecho. B'chol levavcho, says the Baal Turim, that's Avram, it's also it's levavcho, yamu l'fumecho. B'chol nafshecho, it's a Yitzchok, says the Baal Turim. Because Yitzchok gave his nefesh away because of the habit of Boire. B'chol moidecho is Yaakov. Yaakov said, b'chol ashatitni, after serenoloch, whatever you give me, I'll give back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'll give to Dokka. Yaakov is the Av of Klai Yisrael that shows us and teaches us how the Kedusha of the Yid doesn't just remain in the Yid itself. It's contagious, it spreads itself to his money, to all his objects, they all become entities of Kedusha. If Tzadik writes that the Pashup Shat, the Chomoy Decho means to use your money to serve Hashem, but the Pre-Tzadik says, the Tzadik says that the whole Moidecho means that you should put Hashem into all your money. A person can infuse his Gashmi Yizik belongings and make them and turn them into Ruchmi Yizik entities. That's Yaakov, the Nachla Belim Etzorim. There's no cutoff, there's no limit to the Kedusha of Yaakov Avinu. It doesn't stay inside. It goes, it spreads. And the Rashba wrote a Sefer, Toyer Tabayis. Sefer from the Rashba, Toyer Tabayis, Halachas of the house. The Lumber Garov writes, the first mitzvah the Klal Yisrael got was the sheep, the seraph of the Korban Pesach. What did they do with the sheep? They tied it to their bed. What a strange, they had to show the mitzvah and they had it, tie it outside in the yard, the mitzvah pierces by, you tell them, this sheep I'm going to be shafting for the Korban Pesach. Why tie it to your bed? It's noisy, you can't sleep. The sheep in the room makes noise. The verse is the difference between Shar, Oivdei Das, and Klal Yisrael. They believe that the religion is in the shrine, in the center of wherever they assemble, and outside there's no religion. Klal Yisrael. It's throughout our entire life. Through the house, through the bedroom. It's all part of one entity. It's all Kedusha. That's the Pshat. And it says he built a Beis Medrash. Bayis means a Beis Medrash. I mean, he built a Beis Medrash. He put in shtenders and tables. Bayis, his house. His house was a Beis Medrash. Just like you understand, he housed the house that he made for his animals was a sukkah. It was a barn, it was some type of stable. The bayis that he built was a Beis Medrash, it was synonymous. Because what goes on in the Beis Medrash and what goes on in the house is the same thing. There's no two separate entities. So the Melech Tzarakasha, Yaakov goes to Pachim Ketanim. And that's what Yaakov told Esau. You're right. Oilam Hazeh, it's in itself I don't have. But the Oilam Hazeh that comes from Oilam Havo, the Oilam Hazeh that I take and I infuse in it the Kedusha that I do have. So, Im Lovin Gaiti V'tayev Mitzvah Shemarati V'hiri Shor V'chamor. That's reflected in the Shor, that there's mitzvah to do with the Shor. The Chamor, that there's a Petach Horechem. And the Tzoyim, all the Kedusha that you find in these animals is because of the Tayyad Mitzvah Shemati, the Kedusha that a Yid lives with, that transfers itself to all his belongings and to everything he owns. There's a Maitre brought down that at one point in the Chafetz Chaim's life, he wanted to transition and move to Eretz Yisrael. His entire life he had such a Cholom. One of those attempts, many Gedolim had many attempts they tried, and they weren't successful. In the Hashemayim, they were held back. The Chofetz Chaim, in one of his attempts, he literally packed up all his belongings, all his farm. He had even purchased on his behalf an apartment in Petach Tikvah, Eretz Yisrael, near the Lomji Yeshiva. And they were going to travel. He was going to go to Eretz Yisrael. Now, there was an old rickety table that the Chofetz Chaim was no longer using, which obviously wasn't worth the schlep along to Eretz Yisrael. And was sitting outside in the courtyard outside the Chofetz Chaim's house, a shaky old wooden table. It wasn't repairable. I don't know why not. Maybe there was no Home Depot then, so they couldn't get parts. Whatever it was. An unrepairable, shaky old wooden table that was sitting outside, exposed to the elements. So there was a shochin, a goyish neighbor passed by, and he sees the table. And you know, in Poland, in Radin, during the winter, it was very cold. So any unusable piece of furniture that was made out of wood, and there was no synthetics in those days, you couldn't get pressed wood, every old furniture, was at least worth its weight in firewood. So the guy said, what are you doing with that table? So the Chofetz Chaim wrote and said, we have no use for it. So he says, do you mind if I take it? And it was obvious that his kavanah was, he was going to chop it up and throw it into his fireplace. So she said, yeah, take it. I have no need for it. Chofetz Chaim saw the commotion going on outside. She came into the house. Chofetz Chaim asked, what was going on? What did the guy want? So she said, the guy wanted the table that, you know, you don't use anymore. So he asked her, what did you do? She said, let him take it. I said, come pick it up. The Chofetz Chaim burst into tears. He said, the table that I learned so much to take on. Should go to a guy? He was shattered. He was broken. Because the Kodesh, the Kedusha that a Yid has, is he transfers his Kedusha. Because, like the Lashon of the Meshech Chochmah, such a strong Lashon, that the Kedusha that we have, the Etzem Kedusha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Klal Yisrael, transfers itself onto their belongings and to everything they have. The etzem kedushas hayisrael hamushpas mehashem shenema ki ani Hashem mekadishchem shayfeya shefa kedusha gam al kinyono yivahemtoi. So that's one lesson in the parasha, the contrast of how to look at worldly belongings between Yaakov and Esav. Says when Yaakov learned that Esav was coming with 400 men, by Yiru Yaakov, Yaakov was petrified. He told him that Esav is coming, the whole army of people. He split his family into two camps, and he said, if Esav comes to one, and then Pasuk Yeralov, Yaakov Vino is espoused to Kodesh Baruch Hu, and he says, "Ketointi mikol achasodim u'mikol emes asher tisus avdecho." I'm humbled by all the chesed you did for me. Ki b'makli, because of my sick, or v'arti yasayarden azeh, v'ato yitzlo shtei machnis. Rashi brings down two pshotim. What does it mean, ki b'makli, with my stick, with my staff? I crossed the yarden. The Rashi says, l'hoye imi, l'kesef, l'zov, l'mikne. I had nothing, l'makli, l'vadoi. Umerish agoda, nosin makloi, b'yarden. He put his stick into the yarden. V'nifka ha'yarden. And the yarden split. Similar to Kriyas Yamsuf. So the question is, first of all, what's the v'ato ha'yisi l'shem achnois? He says, Hashem, you were so good to me. Look at this. I started off with one camp, and I ended up with two camps. You know, suppose a marshal. Let's say a magician would come with a plate with one piece of cake, a triangular piece of cake on the plate. And he says, watch, I will make two pieces of cake appear. And he takes a knife out of his pocket and he cuts the piece of cake into half. would it be fair for him to say that he now has, yeah, he has two pieces of cake. But it's not the two pieces of cake he was talking about when he said he was going to produce two pieces of cake. Yaakov said he was one machzeh. You took your family, you split them in half. They have two machzeh. They're really one machzeh. You split in half. What was Yaakov trying to say? There's a pshat here from the Be'er Ma'ayim Chaim, a Noyedik pshat. He explains, what does Yaakov mean by Ketoyti? He says, Yaakov was saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, when I came to the Yarden, Loshon HaChazal is, nothing makloy the Yarden. I came to the Yarden, it was a roadblock. I had nothing. I put my stick into the Yarden, I just continued walking. The same way I was walking outside the Yarden, I placed my stick into the Yarden and continued walking. That was the level of my betochen when I came to the Yarden. But now, I'm making all this establish because of the fear of Esav. It's ruining my betochen. And what's the proof, Katointi? Because I had to split myself into two machmas. Not that, oh, look, I have two machmas. The fact that I did this whole contingency plan and the business continuation plan and they have two machmas is all not equal to the level of betochen that I had when I started out. So I'm begging you for mercy that I should get my betochen back. Yaakov was davening to get his betochen back. That's because in order to make it through Golos, he needs betochen. What type of betochen? Keep him actually about the Efer Yarden. To have Rachmanis Rebbein Shalom, give me back that needless type of betochen like I had. Keep him actually just to stick my staff into the water, just continue going as if it's the same as when I was walking on dry land. I shouldn't have to come on to all these cheshvoinis and lose my koyach ha-betochen, and therefore I have to do more ishtabas. Because ishtabas has to do with how much betochen a person has. We all know, there's a famous word from the Vilna Goin on this pasuk, the 20th Mikol HaChasodim. The Gemara says that a Talmud Chochem, when it comes to Gaiva, has to have a Shminis Shebashminis. So what does that mean? It's to have an eighth of Gaiva. How do you measure Gaiva? What is Gaiva? How do you measure it? So he says, like the eighth parasha, the eighth pasuk, Ketoyinti Mikol HaChasodim, extreme humility. That's what Chazal is trying to tell us. The Shminish and the Shminish. Chazal is not telling you to be a Baal Gaiva. Fakir. Shad is why, in this thriller, when Yaakov meets the Mispaul Keneged Esav, does he articulate the Nida of Anova? That's the Nida of Yaakov. Yaakov is the Nida of Esav, Nida of Anova. But there seems to be a deeper connection between the Midah to Anova and to be Zoicha, to be Nitzel, and to be saved from Esav. I want to share with you a thought from the Be'er Ma'ayim Chaim. He's Medayek the Psukim. First of all, Yaakov sends him a ton to Esav. He says that he's sending it, when he sends the Malachim to Esav, it says, he sends them Arzo Seir to the Edom. Why does Esav have two addresses? Let it say, the Edom. What's the Arzo Seir to the Edom? So it's the same place. And then, later on in the Pasha, when Esav finally meets with Yaakov and he says, let's travel together. Let's go together . So Yaakov says, maybe he has something up his sleeve. So Yaakov gives him a story. Ve'yoy me'elov, Adoini Yedei Ki Ha'yolodim Rakim Vatzim Vaboko Oloi Sulai Yavno Adoini Lefnei Avdoi. You go ahead. V'ani Esnahalu Le'iti Yagol Slow Moving Vehicle V'regol Hamalocha Asher Lefonai V'regol Ha'yolodim Ad Asher Ovoi El Adoini Siyir. So eventually I'll get there. If you come there an hour later, Dr. Rashi, Tichav lo yaderech shlo ho yodai to leches el ha-tsukos. Omar, and that's it, asas li go. Yamtin ad boi yet sloi. Then I'm with him, I come to him. Not while I'm on the road. Vuhu lo ha-och. He didn't go. So Esav's sitting there waiting for Yaakov to come. Yaakov doesn't show up. Ya, chas ha-shom, me just him, it's Yaakov is mine. No. Ve'em is ha-yelech, v'yimei ha-mashiach. Shenema ha-va'olu mashiim ba-hatsir lishpita sa-reisa. He's afraid of Esav. Also, well, I want to tell you what he says. The Bemayim Chaim says a word that he has no music. We know, we talk about goals. We're in goals, right? Many of us are descendants from Eden that were in Golos Europa, till the end of Golos Europa. Those Yidden were descendants from people who were either in Golos, Spain, Portugal, the cities in those countries, so it was an expulsion. And they were there, but their parents, or great-great-grandparents, came from Babel, Iraq, countries that even lived B'Shalom B'Shalva till a certain year, and then it became dangerous and even moved on. Golos in a certain way is a punishment for Klal Yisrael. Like the Torah says, you do have it, you lose your privileges of living in Eretz Yisrael, you're dispersed amongst the nations of the world, different countries, different places, different cultures. So on one side, Golos is a punishment to Klal Yisrael for us to get a kaparot. What are we doing here? We're living here to get a kaparot. We're not living up to the standards of being in Tzeil HaShchin and Eretz Yisrael. Abusing the privileges of having a Beis HaMikdash. Not happening enough to have it rebuilt. That's all Mitzad Klal Yisrael. But there's a second dimension of Golos, which has to be become very real. Because we have to understand it's not just that we're here aimlessly without a purpose. There's a concept brought down in Svarim HaKadoshim called Nitzotzos HaKedusha, sparks of Kedusha. The Alter of Kelim talks about this in his Sefer. He writes, Hagam she'ein lanu esek b'nisparos. We don't understand. But we understand enough that really the koichos in the world other than Klal Yisrael have need nutrients to survive. And the only nutrients, there's only one source of chiyus, and that's Kedusha. There are sparks of Kedusha that are trapped and embedded and scattered in different places of the world. So when Yidden are exiled to that locale, so number one is the Yid undergoes the kapara by being displaced and feeling displaced, feeling that he doesn't really belong here. And that's why it's important to live with the feeling like we're in Golos, so we feel that we're in Golos. Mi'izach Gisa, by practicing Torah Mitzvah, we help these elements of Kedusha that feel trapped, we free them. And they can go back to where they're mekayimus, where they belong. Should any mokum in the world be totally emptied of the Kedusha that it has in its clutches, and there's a total release of all elements of Kedusha that was there, that area, that place, has no right to exist. That's what happened by the Ramah. There was no more Kedusha left in the world. The world had to disintegrate. Noach took all the Kedusha into the Teva, all the Kedusha, all the Tahara into the Teva. The rest of the world is into Giganim. It disintegrated. Turned into fossil fuel. The places where Klal Yisrael lived for hundreds of years and then left those places, where they were expelled, moved on, and you see, he never returned. Because there's no mission over there. There's nothing to do there anymore. What happens when this Kedusha, this amount that Klal Yisrael has the ability to extract, but there's some residual Kedusha that's left someplace that Klal Yisrael is not the koyach to extract, but the Ummah that has the Kedusha in them, that has the right to exist because of the Kedusha that they contain, are very evil, very, very bad people, and want to do bad things. The Bereshit built into the world a plan for such people as well. To Gemara and Saita, that's Ha'amud Beis, the Gemara says that Ta'avat Hashem Kol Gavoy Alev. Gaiva and Kedusha cannot coexist. They're like opposite poles on a magnet, and they repel each other. Ani v'hu lo yechoyim lodid madura achas. We cannot co-survive or co-live in the same place. Think about the Shira we say every single day. We talk about Paro. We know Vayinotzu es Mitzrayim. The whole visa of Mitzrayim that Klal Yisrael took with them when they left, they were taking out all the Kedusha that there was in Mitzrayim. And the Torah is going to ultimately tell Klal Yisrael, you have no business going back to Mitzrayim. There's nothing left. But there was a little bit left because Paro and his army were still active. But that was unreachable by Klal Yisrael. No problem. Ki go'oi go'o. Paro has a tremendous level of gaiva. He's riding his sus v'roichvoi, his Cadillac, into the yam. That's the end of his existence. The gaiva is going to finish him off. In the Shiur, we don't talk about all the atrocities, the mitzvah of the Tariq. But Omer Oyev Erdes Asig Achal, the Gaiva of Paro we talk about. He go, he go. We talk about Paro, the what type of Keil Mekomet Hashem, Keil Mekomet Seisiya, He Nosei Gemul Al Geim. The ultimate Mekomet, the greatest revenge, he can be passive. The Goy becomes the Bal Gaiva, he finishes himself off. The Goy explains the Pasuk in Mishlei. Lefnei Shavur Goyim. And the Be'er Mayim Chaim explains it the same way. Why did Esther invite Haman to the party? He needed to be infused with a tremendous level of gaiva in order to have his final fall. Because the gaiva is going to expel any kedusha that he has and any rights to existence. That, says the Be'er Mayim Chaim, is the pshat in giving the matona to Esav. The Be'er Mayim Chaim writes for me. And that's the rest of the shiur. We say, Nicha Moicha Be'ilim Hashem Ba'olam. When Hashem remains quiet and he lets the goyim be mekarka be'echoloi, he lets them dance and he's soivul. What's that? Why is that? Heinim Divaroisa, the Heinim Eroisa. The greatness is Hashem doesn't have to lift a finger. They bring upon themselves their own demise. That's the whole concept of the Yevonim. Gaiva. The Maral talks about Yevon as a Malchus of Gaiva. And that's why I believe the Shira that we say in the Minig in Kaldas Yishurim is at the end of the Shira, we sing V'olam Hashim Bahatir and Chanukah, because the same Koyach of Yicha Moicha Be'elam Hashem is what's ultimately going to bring down Malchus Evan, like the Psukim talking of Adya, that in Ben Krechovim Yisham Eritcha Kodin B'goyim Nisatich, I will make you small. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu help, we should be Zoicha, through reading Pashas by Yishlach, and through the Achonis we're going to make for the Yontif of Chanukah to be Zoicha Taket to see. In the great Nekoma, Kehel Nekomis Hashem, Kehel Nekomis Hashem, Hoshev Gemul Al-Gayim, and the total breakdown of Malchus Edoim, B'zeich HaMit Hashem, the whole team, Doyel, the Meher of Yemenim. Thank you for listening.
Strong.